conversation with musician Corey Medina.
We talked with him last fall around the release of his latest album, Soak.
Being around just good music, you know, whether it's serious or not, it's just sometimes it's just healing, because music in itself is good for the soul. And if we can do it, you know, in a way that it's safe, it's fun, yeah, that's awesome.
Bonjour, Anin. Welcome to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. I'm your host, Cole Primo.
And I'm your other host, Leah Lem. Miigwech for joining us. Native Lights is a place for Native folks to tell their stories. And every week we talk to really great people doing really cool things. You name it, we talk to them. And we talk to them about how they share their gifts with their community. And of course, it all centers around this big point of purpose in their lives. And it is a, you know, it wraps into the purpose in our lives too, especially when it comes to amplifying Native voices, which I feel like is one of the big purposes in my life.
Agreed. And also, music is a big purpose in our lives, and this episode kind of has that going for it. So,
well, your guitar playing, you can hear at the top, introducing us. So, yeah, music is kind of wrapped into what we do too.
How you been, Leah?
Well, not making much music, but. No, I'm doing pretty well. No, I am making a little music, actually. A little bit.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, nice.
It's like in the valley right now, but it comes and goes. And, you know, I do some work with Warbonnet and I sing in a choir. So there's good stuff going on.
Are you still alto? Is it alto 1, alto 2? What do you?
You know, I like alto 2. Yeah, I just like it.
Low alto?
Yeah, it's low. Nice. In case you can't tell, I have a low voice. I'm really excited to chat with our guest today, Corey Medina. Corey Medina is a blues rock artist from Shiprock, New Mexico, and is from the Dene Nation. He has lived in northern Minnesota for a decade now with the rest of his band called Corey Medina and Brothers. He and his band have a new album out called Soak. We'll hear a few tunes from that today as well, so we'll be vibing, we'll be chatting, and all that good stuff. Welcome to the show, Corey.
I'm born from the Salt Rock Clan. I'm from the Dene Nation. My paternal clan is Nakwe. My grandpa's clan is Bitterwater. And I'm from Shiprock, New Mexico, and I was born and raised there. And I moved to northern Minnesota to a Chenab town called Bemidji, Minnesota. And the Chenabs up here were very good to me. And Chenab meaning Anishinaabe. It's been really interesting, like getting to know a northern native culture, you know, in my adult years, you know, from growing up, you know, with my own Navajo culture in my younger years. So it's been really cool. Very grateful to the Leech Lake, Red Lake, and White Earth up here who take me in and my music in on their territory, and are very good to me and my family. So, yeah.
How was it like moving, you know, as a musician and settling into a new place? I mean, not necessarily just as a musician, but, you know, as just a human being, and just how was that?
Yeah, I think it's like pros and cons to everything, because I think most people in general want to get out of their hometown and like just don't like their hometown, like can't wait to get out of there. But, and I say this as humbly as I can, but in my case, that wasn't the case. I love my hometown. I love my community. I was, you know, getting ready to, you know, be on a board of, you know, in a community organizations, and I was very involved with the Native youth there. Yeah, I'm the oldest out of three little sisters who are very young, younger than me, you know. But no, I met my wife. And I came to come visit her, and I just fell in love with this other small community. And it really just, I don't know, it kind of like, it's almost a cool northern parallel of where I come from in the desert. But now that I'm just in this like northern winter wonderland. but it's been cool though. And from as a res boy, I'm very grateful to Bemidji. Everybody like took me in right away when they heard that I could play blues or play like, say like, oh, this young dude, singing like this like old blues and like, so all right away, just the older generation took us under their wing. And like, we were like, for the first 2 years, like our best friends were like over 50 and were these like young 20-year-old, early 20s, and hanging out with this the blues veterans and music veterans of the community. So we're very grateful for them. And they're the ones who really took me in, as well as the natives who really latched onto my music. And when they, especially when they found out I'm Navajo too. So it was definitely more of a blessing. I had a beautiful woman to come up here to pursue, to be around. So it was good in all senses. But me being a mama's boy and a res boy myself, there's a lot of depression, and then, I got to go home at least a couple times a year because of the overcast in the winter, really gets to me. I really miss home. So, and I'm going back for my birthday next month, and that'd be really fun. But it's been good. It's been definitely a huge blessing to be able to come up here and experience this and represent my people up here. So, yeah.
Great. Well, we're definitely wanting to talk about your new music. Can you give us an intro to your music in general, and then the new album you have coming out?
Yeah, more of like a blues rock guy. It's hard to call myself a blues musician just because I know blues musicians, and like, man, they can really pull from that genre in ways that I can't, that are really traditional or really, go way back, some of those riffs and some of those ways of writing the song. And for me, I'm more kind of like, that new age contemporary style where, like Black Keys and Jack White Stripes was one of the first like new bands that showed me I could like mess around with blues with like hard rock and mix it up. And I'm like, whoa, that's cool, So it's just kind of like blues rock. And then the guys I play with, I've been playing with for like good 5-6 years now. They've been really, really cool. Eric Sundin on drums and Gary Brosty on the bass, upright bass. And I'm really fortunate with these guys too, because I met them and, they're like the hired guns of Bemidji. Gary and Eric, they both get sought out a lot for recording studio time and to sit in with a lot of bands just because they're so good at what they do in their craft. They're really humble, so people love to work with them. They know how to read the band. So they're just really good musicians, and I'm just so, so honored and grateful that I got them. Because they started filling in, sitting in with me, and like they start learning my songs. And they were already part of quite a few other bands, and I realized like, hey, like if I can keep, they actually like playing with me, if I can keep them busy, like I actually might be able to make this a thing. So yeah, because I mean, I love jamming with everybody, but I like having a consistent group of people. Like that's how I learned in the band, and that's how I connect, where you're just as good friends off stage as you are on stage. So I'm glad they stuck with me and I kept them busy. And they're such a good rhythm section with as a drummer and a bassist that they make our sound that huge that we can stay a trio, that we don't have to add any another rhythm or something, because they're just both so good at filling in spaces and working with each other while I'm off in la la land, so they hold down the fort. So it's been really cool with that band. And and this new album's our second studio album, and it's our first one we released in 2019, and that one was just really just a big group of songs that we kind of learned to write and play with each other as time went on, and we finally recorded it. So that was our first album where it was like we're finding our sound, like they're finding their sound within my writing. And then there's a couple songs on that album, like Too Green to Burn, that really just stand out, that really show something different and fresh, which I think kind of gives a preview to this next album where I think we're just finding our sound just that much more, and and kind of how my writing's changing, especially as my transition from like writing about like God all the time to like now writing about God in like a native perspective now, and kind of that decolonization perspective as well, you know, where I no longer have to feel pressured to like sing to this crowd of people, you know, this institution, where now I feel free to like sing more about my people and sing for my people and like lift them up and inspire them. Because like in my old way of thinking and writing, you know, I was always like, no, we need to be this way and think this way, so that's how I'm gonna write. So now it's like, no, I don't care what you think, I'm writing, you know, because I'm Navajo, I'm Diné, you know, I'm still writing from my experiences, but now writing from my experiences and that transition in my personal faith. I don't pray to Jesus no more, you know, I pray to changing woman, you know, that's I pray to Adzana Adlehe, that's the Diné deity, and it's a woman, you know, we're matriarchal, you know, we lift up our women and we commemorate them for being stronger than us, you know. And that's why, you know, that's why I'm really glad that's really going to show more in my writing as we go along, and this album really reflects a lot of that too. So we recorded at Winterland Studios in Minneapolis, which now they're not at that studio anymore, they're at a different studio, but we were the last ones to record the tape in that studio. So it was really, really, really an honor to work there with Matt Gurton. He's the one who produced it. And yeah, it was just really just a step up. It was our first time really stepping out of our comfort zone to go to the cities to record an album. It's kind of scary, but really cool experience. It's a lot of work, especially when you're out of town at a studio. It's been a fun process, and we're so glad it's finally out.
Cool. Yeah. Great. So the album is called Soak, and we have the first track lined up to listen to. Can you tell us about the first track?
Yes. People are wondering how to say it. Suakaz. There's no correct way to say it, because it's just Zacchaeus is backwards. The name from the Bible, Zacchaeus.
Oh, okay.
So it's a story about like a tax man who's like using his power to just, you know, rob everybody in the community and just put taxes on people. I don't know. And it's just kind of like using that story and fable like against the world that claims that but doesn't live by it. When I wrote it, I was in a really dark place. And in the first verse, I like say like, hey, am I where I need to be? You know, that's kind of like me like just calling out to my community, you know, us calling out to the, you know, not just me, but when we're just feeling lost or feeling just fed up with everybody, fed up with everything around us, we're just mad and just don't know what to do. And we're just like, man, like, am I where I need to be? You know, so it's just a cool song, rock song that just kind of embraces a lot of those changes and reckonings that were happening in my life when I was writing it, really just, and kind of an anthem to like my community that still supports me. And, you know, I give a shout out to the Two Spirit Clan in there, you know, I give a shout out to the water protectors in there, you know. I say, we don't run, we don't hide. When you speak up for these lands, it puts God on your side. And it's the first song in the album, and it's just kind of just setting the tone, not just musically, but even spiritually, and where I'm coming from and where my heart is. So, yeah.
All right. Well, let's listen to the first track, Suakaz, off of the new album Soak by Cory Medina and Brothers. Hey, am I where I need to be? I'm just trying to say what you say. Just need some more time to understand what this is all about and what helps you stand. I don't have to point out the elephant in the street. I don't have the educated standard we don't meet, but we're just standing still on what just understand. Well, Egypt look like fun, but I ain't ever going back. Come on, it's time to heal. Come on, it's time to build. was Sue Akaz from Corey Medina and Brothers' new album, Soak. And now that we have a taste of that sound, let's get into it just a bit more. Cole, I know you have about 100 questions, so let's see how many we can get to.
You were talking about writing, changing the focus of the lyrics and stuff like that. And I was just curious, you know, what you come up with. Is it the lyrics first, or is it the music melody? Is it a mix of both? And I see Maple Acres Studio. Does that have a big role in your writing now?
That's a cool question. I always get that. I always get asked that too. For me, it's actually, it really starts with a theme. Like, I'm real heavy on like intros and how the song's going to make you feel and how much you can shake your booty to it. You know, it's like, those are kind of my, like my, what I'm grabbing from when I'm writing a song is, all right, like, what do I want to say, what I want to be about, and how dancey do I want it? And in anything I write, I try to make it to, even if it's the most serious song, I try to make it to where you still can like bob your head to it and still just jam out to it. So, but if I have a theme, like Pond Man on this album is a really good example, because Pond Man, that's just like a theme. You're kind of calling out the darkness of how people can like take advantage of natives, and you're not really making them a villain because there's Pawn Stars all over the country, you know, but at the same time, it's a theme. It's very Southwestern and cowboyish. And that's what I was thinking about when I wrote it. And I was like, oh, like what would be a cool, like it's got to sound real 60s and 70s, you know? So it's really just that, that's what I start with, a theme. Then I'll find a phrase that just gets me. I'm like, ooh, I like that phrase. That's a cool, like almost if you imagine like, if a rapper's like writing a bar or something, like, oh, like that's really good. Like, I bet that would resonate with somebody, you know? So if I can get that one phrase or lyric, then I'm like, all right, cool. Like, what key do I want this to be in? How do I want to sing that phrase? What are the syllables, you know? When I'm lucky, what I'm very grateful for, every now and then, the very few times when I'll just have just this inspiration, I have the theme, I can hear it a little bit and I get on my guitar and I can write it in like 15 minutes. So that two of the songs on this album were written in 15 minutes and we played it that night. I just wrote out the lyrics and the chords. I told Eric what the plan did, like what kind of beat to play on the drums for the transitions, that we went through it and we played it at the show that night. But that's how I like to write. I like to go in themes and then like how am I going to present this to the listener, and how are they going to receive it? How can I get this across? How can I get this emotion across?
You're listening to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. This show is produced by Minnesota Native News and Ampers with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. This week, we're revisiting our conversation with musician Corey Medina from fall of 2022. We talked with Corey around the release of his latest album, Soak. The album art, the album cover, it's got soak, it's got water, it's got the skull. Could you talk about the influence, you know, behind that artwork and, you know, who did that?
Yeah, I did the artwork and
cool.
Nice.
Yeah, so my original idea was supposed to be like a bull skull, like a bull head, like a southwestern desert cowboyish bull skull inside of a like a creek, like a flowing creek. And I was going to actually try to like order one on Amazon. I could fake bull skull on Amazon and find a creek somewhere and take a picture of it and then just digitize it from there. But I was running out of time. And then I was like, well, I better practice, as I haven't done any graphic design in a long time. I better, you know. So I started practicing. And then I told the guys about the idea of the album cover. I said, hey, I want to do this bull skull in a creek, you know. And I said, it'll kind of like the skull inside the water will represent, you know, the skull represents death, you know, and then water representing life, you know, but then the skull in the water, you know, can mean a lot of different things for a lot of different people, whether it's you're trying to revive something, you know, that you think is dead, or you're trying to like give something life, or, you know, it can be even darker where it's like, there's some things we got to let go, you know, but we're still trying to revive it, you know, but it's better left. The fact that it's better left dead isn't always a bad thing. You know, it's okay to keep it there and know that like scars, you know, like we heal and we get a scar. It's ugly, but we don't try to like, you know, we don't try too hard to like cover it up too much. You know, it's like, hey, it's healed. It's ugly, but you know, so that's kind of one way. And then my my drummer sent me a text. He's like, hey, he's like, right away I got this image when he told me about the bull skull. He sent me a picture of that. It's a kudu skull. It's like, I think it's an African antelope. And he said, this is the first skull that came to my mind, because he's like, when I was growing up, we'd visit my uncle and he had this skull at the top of the staircase when we had to go to the bathroom. So he's like, every night as a kid, I had to, like, if I need to go bathroom at night, I had to walk upstairs up to the skull, just staring at you and to go to the bathroom. And so I was like, dude, I was like, that's a pretty cool skull. Cause I was trying to, the bullhead skull was just starting to look cheesy because it's kind of just used a lot. So I grabbed that one and I couldn't find any like licensable vectors of it. So I found one really good photography picture of it that I was able to license, and I was able to digitize it. And I looked up the meaning of it. I looked at the meaning behind the skull, what the skull represents. And it's really cool. It represents like prosperity, growth, like reckoning. And I was just like, just with that, I was like, cool, that's it. We're using that skull. Like, that's the skull that's going into it. And so just by the grace of God, I was able to like put enough vectors together where I made it look like it was underwater. So, yeah. So that's how that came about. My mom's kind of old school. So like I showed her, she was like, ooh, like, it's kind of scary. But no, but it's supposed to just really just represent peace, really. Like, it looks scary. It looks like, whoa, is this about, is Corey going satanic, or is this a heavy metal album, you know? But no, it's like, it shows death, but it also shows a lot of life.
Yeah, there's like the calm water and like the multicolored rocks. And
yeah, it's just really serene. And there's times when there's things in our life that are so messed up and we can't control it, and it's just, but we can learn from it and grow from it. And that's what's sitting there, you know. That's the skull. That's the, you know, that's where we look back and say, you know, I may not want to go back to that again, but at least I learned from it and I have peace from it. And so, yeah, so there's a lot of different things that really go into that where I was like, hey, soak, that really makes sense. Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. This show is produced by Minnesota Native News and Ampers with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. This week, we're revisiting our conversation with musician Corey Medina from fall 2022. We talked with Corey around the release of his latest album, Soak. Is there anything else you want to share about the new album and anything like that you think might help the listeners in their journey?
Okay. I think we're going to, the biggest thing that, like, as much as we love, as any musician loves being in the studio, for us, there's nothing like playing live and giving an audience that live experience. So coming up soon, we're going to be doing some like live videos where we do live versions of them and put them out. And that's kind of really how our music got put out there in the first place, because people really dug our live sound. So we started putting on YouTube, and that's what really helped people start sharing and getting to our shows. So expect that. We are going to try to get vinyl. We're going to do a pre-order this fall into the winter sometime, because right now the vinyl we're going to go through for this album, it won't be ready till we're on a waiting list till next summer. But we have been getting requests, and we are going to do it. But in order to do it, we have to do a pre-order because they're pretty expensive. So at least if we get the pre-order, we can just pay it right away, and we don't have to worry about too much of that. But we're excited to get out there more this winter, as safe as we can. We're going to be planning more indoor winter shows, which will be nice. It'll be kind of good for, I think, music communities all around. Although I think it's really good to be still careful. You know, my kids are back at school and we had to keep them back today because they're both sniffling and coughing already. So, you know, this COVID's still out there, and, you know, we still have a lot of tribal people who are very not immune to this, you know, and this can affect them. And I've had plenty of loved ones who've lost loved ones, and I've lost loved ones to it. So I just wanted to put that out there, because as a band whose career most of the time weighs on if people show up and getting people together, you know, and for someone who's like me, who's paranoid and thinks of the worst all the time, you know, we just want to do it the safe as we can, but really just try to give people just that good medicine again. Not just to, hey, let's go party again. No, there's something about being around just good music. You know, whether it's serious or not, it's just sometimes it's just healing, because music in itself is good, just good for the soul. So, and if we can do it, you know, in a way that it's safe, it's fun, you know, and helps provide, you know, me and my band for our families as well. Yeah, that's awesome, you know. So that's kind of what we got to look forward to this winter. So
thank you so much, Corey Medina.
Yeah, congrats on the album.
Thank y'all. Appreciate it.
Appreciate your words so much. And we're going to end here with another tune off the new album, a tune called Smoke Signals. Medina, Dene, musician from Shiprock, New Mexico, now living in Bemidji, not too far from me. Always super fun to talk to. Great musician. And yeah, what do you think, Cole?
There's a lot of great music happening up in northern Minnesota. I tell you, he's got some great, great tunes. I like it.
I really liked when he was talking about the cover art and having that sense of peace and the concept of scars, how they're ugly but healed. And I'm like, and my brain just went like click, like, yeah, I mean, there's healing that happens, but that doesn't mean that whatever happened in the past is erased. It's still there. It might be ugly, but it's healed. Oh, what? Come on, yeah. Corey. That was great. That was really
more,
good.
For more amazing thoughts like that, just check out his music. If you want to hear Corey talk about his gear, including his effects pedals, his guitar, his amp, check out the podcast version on the website. That's MinnesotaNativeNews.org.
I'm Leah Lem.
I'm Cole Primo.
Miigwech for listening.
You're welcome.
Native Lights, Where Indigenous Voices Shine, is produced by Minnesota Native News and Ampers with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
The internet geeks at IP House are proud supporters of Fresh Air Community Radio. IP House provides internet hosting and access for your community, large or small. More information is available at iphouse.com.
KFAI is proud to present Story Hill at the Cedar Cultural Center on Saturday, May 20th. Celebrating over 30 years of playing together, Story Hill is a modern folk duo that brings brotherly harmonies, infectious melodies, and smart story songs together in one perfect package. Their beautiful music and passionate performances have won them much critical acclaim and devoted fans all over the country. Colorado-based singer-songwriter Edie Carey opens the show. Tickets for Story Hill can be found at the Cedar Cultural Center website. Visit thecedar.org for more details.
Programming is supported by Bremer Bank. With bankers who know that in business, relationships matter more than ever, and understanding is everything. More at Bremer.com.
Hi, this is Don Eubanks, and this is Counter Stories, a podcast by people of color, for people of color, and everyone else. I'm Don Eubanks, associate of Dendros Group and member of the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe Indians.
I'm Halee Lee, owner of the Other Media Group and producer of Counter Stories.
I'm Anthony Galloway, senior partner at Dendros Group and pastor of St. Mark AME Church in Duluth, Minnesota.
And today, Luz Marie Freyas, she won't be able to join us today, but I'm extremely excited that we have two guests that will be joining us today. And I'd like them to introduce themselves and tell you a little bit about who they are. So
thanks, Donald. If it's okay, I'm going to start by introducing myself in my language. How am I talking? Chante washte na pech yuzapilo wen dushno imachiapie. And what I said there simply was, hello, my relatives. I greet you all with a good heart and a handshake. My name is Wayne Dushno. I am the executive director of the Native Governance Center, and we're a nonprofit organization that serves the 23 Native nations that share geography with North Dakota, South Dakota, and Minnesota Makoche, more commonly known as Minnesota, providing our services to tribal nations to help them grow their capacity to exercise sovereignty. I'm a citizen of the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe in North Central South Dakota, where I currently live, reside, and work from. I think most important.